1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20, the Bible says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they have none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend unto the Lord without distraction. Now God inspired Paul to write his letters to help the church of his day, and I believe to help the church in the present day. You know from reading your Bible that the makeup of the church, the challenges of the church, and the commands for the church are the same today as they were for Paul and the early church worshipers. Paul writes his letter to the church at Corinth with the purpose of strengthening their faith, strengthening them for their present day, and making them ready to be faithful every day of their lives. He writes to them on the authority of Christ Jesus, who called him to be an apostle and who taught him of his word. He described his purpose for us. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I like to reference back so that we understand where Paul is coming from. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 4. He talks to them about the authority on which he came, first of all, in the earlier parts of the chapter. And then he says in verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And here's his purpose, that in everything you are enriched by him. He wants us to be rich. And how do we get rich? How do we get to know God? We get to know him by reading his word. And Paul says, I'm writing this so that you might be rich in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So what you know of Christ, what you learned of Christ, that you might get wiser, that you might go deeper, that you might grow stronger because of what Christ is teaching you. He says, and what's the purpose? So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be ready. That we might be ready. And the theme of Paul's letter really has not changed. He writes to believers who struggle sometimes at faithfulness, but believers just the same. He writes to challenge and command that we walk worthy of the calling of Christ, that we be no more children tossed to and fro, but that we be steadfast and unmovable in our faith, unchangeable, and in our service to the Lord. Now, chapter 7 deals primarily with relationships, earthly relationships between man and woman, marriage, and what God says about marriage. The first 9 verses teach us how to be physical and spiritual supporters of our mates, making us aware of how denying our spouse's spiritual or physical intimacy can make Satan's temptations more inviting and the flesh weak. The verses that followed support that God ordained marriage to be for life. One man and one woman committed to each other until departed by death. I believe marriage to be a reflection of our faith in God and a reflection of our faithfulness to God. It's our opportunity to give and receive forgiveness and grace and mercy. And, you know, when we see the opposite, where there is no forgiveness, no mercy, no grace, you know what the answer is in marriage? Divorce. But God has called upon us to be forgiving, to be merciful, to be graceful, as He has given grace to us. Last week, our message was titled, So Let Us Walk, taken from 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17, where it says, As God has distributed to every man, and as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk. And God is still talking to us about relationships, but He warns us that no relationship, and I believe that's what we get from these verses, that no relationship should come between the relationship a man has with God and a relationship that a woman has with God. Or that a child has with God. That God is saying, He's got to be primary in our lives. Amen. God has called each of us into our relationships with Him, and as He wills, He will call some into marital relationships, others He will call to remain single. But certainly what He wills for all of us is that we walk as He commands us to walk, ready to serve, ready to tell others about Him, ready to be a testimony of the goodness of God. And we're going to continue this command as we study the next few verses in chapter 7. How does God expect the man and woman of God to walk, to live, to worship? He expects that we will walk with determination. That's my first point. And that we will walk without distraction. That's my second one. So let's look first of all at God's expectation that we walk with determination as He talks to us about relationships. So go back again to verse number 25 in chapter 7, he says, Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Still talking about the physical state or status of men and women, Paul says, Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I have a judgment. He's saying that God didn't speak specifically about people remaining as virgins for all of their lives. But Paul says, I am going to use my judgment. And you know, sometimes the Bible is silent about some things. But we can go back and we can read what God says about other things and we can do exactly what Paul did. Paul says, I have a judgment as one who is faithful to the word of God. What might be in line with the will of God and the way of God. So he says, I'm going to rest on my judgment as one who has been faithful, one who has been taught in the ways of God. He says, the Lord doesn't say that a man or woman must be a virgin, must be without a husband or a wife in order to be within His will. But Paul says, I'm going to tell you what has been best for me. Paul says, what's been best for me is that I've been a single man, that I've been able to go out and I've been able to do where the Lord calls, I've been able to go. And he says, I believe that that's what's best. But that's not what God says is the only way for a man or a woman to live. Now, what else does Paul say about this walk? So Paul says his walk was that he was to be a man who was to be by himself, a man who was to be serving God, giving himself completely, wholly to the Lord. So he says here, how should we focus? How do we focus on the things of the Lord and how it might be possible for you and I to dedicate ourselves to the Lord? He kind of gives us a little bit of an answer because he's really talking about, well, I guess before I get too far, too ahead of myself, go back to verse number 8. I want to make sure that we understand the connection, how Paul can make such a connection. Go back to verse number 8 of chapter 7. So here he says he thinks it's best that we remain virgins. But look what he says in chapter 7, verse 8, he says, I say therefore to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. So how is he unmarried? So he says that's the best thing. That's the best way for us to be able to focus on the Lord. That's the best way for us to be able to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. But Paul says that is not what God says every person is supposed to do. But proving that Paul is really telling us that we are to walk wherein we are called, God's command from verse 20. He says, how God has called us, we ought to so walk. We read that earlier. He said it this way. He says, even let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Then he goes on and says, are you called to be a servant? Then don't care for that. He says, but use it. Use it for the Lord. So here, Paul is telling us that we are to walk just as God has called us. Whether God has called us in a married state, he says, you carry on. If God has called you in a single state, then he says, you carry on. And in verse 27, he reassures us that we don't have to leave husbands and wives. We don't have to break relationships so that we might serve the Lord. In verse 27, he says, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loose. And he's not talking about like it's an imprisonment, but he's talking about it as a relationship. He says, so were you called? Were you called and married? Then he says, don't seek to be loosed. And he says, are you loosed from a wife? Did your wife pass away? Have you, you know, before you were called into this service, were you without a wife? Then he says, seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, he says, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Now, he says there's going to be trouble in the flesh. And he's sparing us from all the details there, but he's pretty much saying, but you can fill in the blanks. Verse 29, he says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they have none, and they that weep as though they have wept, as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. So, to walk, and God is calling upon us to walk, I believe, with determination and dedication to the Lord. He's saying, I want you to be prepared, that if you are in a relationship, that there's going to be some difficulty, there's going to be some trouble in the flesh, but he says we need to walk determined to follow after God regardless of our circumstances. Mm-hmm. So let's look at some of those circumstances. He says, if you're married, stay married. If you're not married, stay unmarried. Don't seek to be married just to please the Lord. That's not a requirement. If you're unmarried, you don't have to stay unmarried to please the Lord. You know, there are some in some faiths that believe that in order to be in service to the Lord, you have to remain celibate. Well, you know, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. The Bible says instead, if you can maintain yourself, then do so. And be like Paul, but if you can't, then marry, because it's better to marry than to burn. Amen. Sadly, we listen to so many stories about those who have vowed to celibacy, who have veered and brought about shame upon the name of God. It ought not to be so. But it's the doctrines of men that have led people to this thought process and not the doctrine of God, where God has said, if you need to marry rather than to burn, then do it. There's no sin in that. But those who have taught that it's sin to be married, it's a shame. But when we don't follow the word of God, when we allow others to tell us what it says versus studying it and knowing it for ourselves, then we will fall for anything. But God says, but and if you marry, speaking first of all to the men, he says there's no sin in marriage. And then if a virgin marries, speaking then to the women, there's no sin. But he says those who marry will have trouble in the flesh. Now God is not here speaking about the difficulties of relationship between men and women. I don't believe. I mean, we know that sometimes husbands and wives disagree, but I believe he's talking more about the persecutions against the church, which will spill over in the households when there are differences in spiritual beliefs. And how it impacts families. Now what? Go back to Matthew chapter 10. I want to show you how I made that connection. Matthew chapter 10. So while you're flipping there, that's on page 711. While you're flipping there again, I want to remind you what Paul says. He says, if you marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. Trouble in the flesh. Trouble in the flesh, because husbands and wives don't always spiritually agree. Because sometimes there's going to be persecution against the family. There's going to be difficulty. And in Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse number 32, look what Christ says himself. He says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And I believe this is where Paul's going. He says, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Amen. Now God is talking about the relationships and how that we cannot allow any relationships, any persecutions on the relationship to interfere with our determination to follow after God. Now one more thing, look in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, page 765 in your pew Bibles. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke chapter 12, skip down this time to verse number 49. Christ again, making the same determination. And this time, he makes it with even more expressive words that say, I want you to follow after me at all costs. Luke 12, verse 49, he says, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. God says, you got to make a determination that we're going to follow after him. He's talking about relationships here. He's talking about how earthly relationships can sometimes interfere with our relationship between man and God and woman and God. And he says, we got to be careful. Paul, I believe, is quoting Christ indirectly in our text today when he says, brethren, the time is short. Life is short. He says things are going to be changing all around us. And he says, as life is changing all around us, as life is winding up, he says, what are you going to experience as husband and wives? Here's what we're going to experience, guys. He says, spouses. Sometimes we're going to lose spouses, he says, because time is winding up. None of us are promised tomorrow. He says, time is winding up. Children, and I was reminded of this yesterday, you know, how precious life is. But God says, the time is short. He says, but you know what? As we walk this walk, sometimes we're gonna have difficulties with our children. And sometimes, and we don't even want to think about it, but sometimes we will lose children as we walk along this walk. But God says, what about your relationship with me? Will you be determined, so determined in your relationship that no matter what you come up against, that you will follow after me? Will you be determined? Amen. Will you be determined that you will follow Christ? That's what he's talking about here. He says, time is winding up. Time is short. He says, there's going to be a time when those who have wives will be as those who had none. He says, where did she go? She passed away. His life was over, but will you still follow me? It's a question he's asking. He says, and there will be those that will weep, and it will be as though they wept not, but will you still follow me? He says, there will be those who rejoice, but rejoicing, and you can't rejoice always, not in life, but he says, will you still follow me even when there is no rejoicing? He says, and even when, like those who buy, he says, sometimes we're going to be at a point where we can buy and we can possess, and other times we're going to have nothing at all. Will we still follow him? Amen. Man. God says we can use this world, but we can't abuse it. He says there's evil in it. It's not guaranteed to us. He said the fashion of this world passes away. But what will we do
what will we do? Will we be faithful? Now, you know, God has not promised us all that we will be able to live long lives. He's not promised us all that we'll be able to live long lives with our spouses. Lord knows that's what we want. Amen. That's what I want. I want to live until I'm old. I want to be healthy. When I'm old, I want to have grandchildren surrounding me. When I'm old, all these things I want, all these things I pray for. But I don't know what God's will is. But whatever His will is, I've determined that I'm going to walk in His way. Now let me show you what the man Job said. We know that Job went through a great deal. Look at Job in chapter 14, page 414. Job went through a great deal. But the Bible, God brags on Job because of his patience, because of his faithfulness, because even though Job had a lot of things that he did not like, the Bible says he never spoke a word against God. He was always a man of faith, and he was determined to follow God no matter what. And Job is a man that is a great example for us of the type of spiritual relationship God wants us to be in with Him. And Job, in Job chapter 14, verse number 1, this is what he said about his own life, which we can apply to our own lives, and how we can apply to what we will experience in our lives. He says, man that is born of a woman, and who does that include? Every one of us. He says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Now, that's exactly what Paul said. Full of trouble. He says, I don't want to spare you. That life is going to be full of trouble. Now, you know, We know that when we were single, those who are married, those who have been married, we know that when we were single, we had fewer responsibilities, fewer things that seemed to bother us, fewer things that we had to be concerned with. And when we got married, different things came on. A lot of it was trouble. He said, there's going to be trouble. Your days will be full of trouble. It happens. But he says, we come forth like a flower, and then we're cut down. He says, he fleeth as a shadow. And he continueth not. That's what life is all about. So time is short. That's how Paul put it. Time is short. It remaineth just a little while, and then it's gone. And I think what Paul is telling us, I think what God is talking to us about this relationship, is that we don't need to let our relationship with any earthly person, with our families, with our friends, with our spouse, with our job, with anything, we don't need to let it overshadow our relationship with our God. Amen. That's what he's telling us. Amen. He says, they that have wives should be as though they had none. Be fixed on the Lord. Amen. Be fixed on the Lord, husbands and wives. Amen. Don't be absorbed into your relationship with your spouse and lose out on your relationship with the Lord. Wow. Don't let life overwhelm you either, I believe God is saying. In all things, we are to walk in accordance with the commands of God, honoring Him, thanking Him, praising Him. They that weep as though they wept not, sorrowful, but not overcome by sorrow. You know, we experience loss, and our hearts are broken. You know, and we experience fear, and we become afraid. You know, I told you guys, I don't think I shared it since Katie's been back, but I shared it with you guys when Katie was going to this mission trip in Mexico. And we were driving down 22 after leaving her on that bus. I told Kathy, I feel like I just need to cry. You know, and I hadn't lost anything. But, you know, it was like fear had overcome me. And she said, well, just go ahead and cry. And that was the whole point, I think, with encouragement was just, you know, we can fear, but still we must trust God. And, you know, that's what I had to learn through that experience is that, yeah, God, she's gone out of my sight, but she's never out of your presence. And I'm just going to put her in your hands. And that's what God is saying here. He says, it remains for a little while. Life does, but we need to be determined that no matter what, we are going to serve Him. Amen. We need to serve Him. We may lose a lot, but we will never, ever, ever lose our relationship with God if we keep our eyes on Him. Turn to Luke chapter 14, page 767. Luke chapter 14. So he says here, Paul has told us that, you know, sometimes we're going to have to weep. Sometimes we're going to have to be sorrowful. Sometimes we will rejoice. But even in our rejoicing, we need to not lose sight of who is the provider of all things. Even when we have money to buy, he says, don't get fixated on what you have, but stay fixated on who God is. Amen. We may lose a lot, But we are to develop a faith that ensures that we will never lose the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. He wants us to walk in determination with the final destination in mind. And in Luke chapter 14, skip down to verse number 25. Here's Christ. He gives counsel. He gives counsel that says, keep your eyes fixed upon me. Verse number 25, he says, and there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and he said unto them, if any man come to me, look at this. He says there's going to be trouble. He's talking about making a choice. He says, if any man will come to me and hate not his father and his mother, and he doesn't mean that we should separate ourselves, but he's saying that he has to be the center, the source, our hope, our strength, our power. He says that we can't look to anything more than we look to him. He says, who does not hate his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, and I like this, you know, God says, even before, I want to say this even before I read this, because what God's saying here is, make your mind up that you're going to follow him no matter what.
Amen.
You know, draw that line in the sand and say, you know what, no matter what, I'm not going backwards. I'm going forward in my faith. He says, we've got to make the determination. We don't, you know, God doesn't turn his back on us ever. If we will stay the course, then God, we will find that God is forever faithful. So he says here, make up your mind. He says, for which of you, and this is the make up your mind passage, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he will have sufficient to finish it. He says, make your plan. Follow your plan to follow him. He says, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, he says, to give us a further example, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. He says we got to make a decision that we're going to forsake all and follow him. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know what God is saying? Be salt. And decide to be salt, no matter what happens in our lives. The time is short. Life is short. It's winding up, yours and mine. And you know what that means? That's why I don't want you to put your faith in me, because I'm just a man and time is winding short.
Amen.
And one day this life might be over.
Amen.
But you need to follow the author and the finisher of our faith, which is Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the determination that God wants. So he wants us to also walk with determination, and he wants us to walk without distraction. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 7 so we can look more at this relationship that God is talking about. 1 Corinthians 7, this time verse number 32. Walking without distraction. He says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. So God obviously wants us to be able to walk in his way without being distracted by the ways of the world. He says,
but I would have you without carefulness. In this life, whether married or single, we will have trouble. But I would not have you to be distracted. I would not have you to be anxious, he says, about anything that's going on in this world. Paul cites for us the spiritual differences between the married man and the married woman to the unmarried man and the unmarried woman. He says the unmarried are able to care completely on the things of the Lord and how to please the Lord, how to be holy, both in body and spirit. He said that can be their whole focus because they don't have to attend to anyone but themselves. But he says the married man, the married woman must care for the things of the world. Not because the woman is in the world, but because she must care for her husband, her children, her family, and the things related to having a family. And the married man must care for how he will please his wife, how he will please his family, how he will care for his wife. But again, I remind you, God is saying being married is not sinful. But to be so married as to not attend to the things of God is sinful. Now what God is saying is, if you're so married that you can't be spiritual, then that's sin. He's saying, if you're so single that you can't be take care of the things of God, then guess what? That's sinful. So God says we must be careful to walk without distraction. We've got to be careful to walk without distraction. Paul is speaking about the urgency of working to be a part of the increase of the kingdom of God. And for us to avoid any distractions that might hinder our being faithful and fruitful to the Lord. Now I want to show you. Remember when Jesus went to see friends Mary and Martha? Look in Luke chapter 10, page 762 in your pew Bibles. Jesus, when he first went into the home of Mary and Martha, maybe it wasn't the first visit. At least it was a visit to their home. Martha was very busy. She was making sure that everything was just so. I could see Martha just kind of cooking and cleaning and trying to get the food ready and make sure everything was seasoned just right and make sure that she had the very best for presentations. But she was busy. But guess what? She was also very, very, very distracted. And what I say is, when I say distracted, this is what was going on with Martha. She missed that the Son of God was in her house. I mean, the Son of God was in her house. And she was worried about whether the biscuits were going to rise. Yeah. I mean, the Son of God was in her house. She missed that he held the keys to the kingdom of God in his hands. And he was in her house. And she thought the most important thing to do was to entertain him and feed him. But her sister had the right idea. But she was so distracted that she actually went to the Lord and said, "Can you fix this?" So let's look at how God addressed her and this distraction over the things of the world and not the things of God, beginning in verse number 38 in Luke chapter 10. He says this, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now Mary knew that he was the Son of God, and she knew that she needed to get all she could get from him while he was in her house. And he says, "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.'" Now that's the trouble. That's the trouble. No, she was a woman about the household. And she was worried about the things of the world. He said, "You are troubled about many things." But guess what? You have missed the most important thing that you need to do. He says, "But one thing is needful." And guys, I tell you what, if you underline in your Bible, you highlight that one thing is needful. That one thing is still needful for you and I today. He says, "And Mary has chosen that good part." What was she doing? Sitting at his feet. "Lord, fill me up with everything you got." And she was there like holding on to him, saying, "What else? Tell me more. Tell me more." He says, "She's chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her."
Amen.
The earth will pass away. Life is just like a vapor. He says, "But our faith will never, ever, ever pass away." Get you some Jesus, he says, and hold on to it.
Amen.
Hold on to it.
Amen.
I mean, he's saying Martha had the wrong idea.
She thought it was about getting ready. Mary says it's about getting the goodness of God. Give me some more. Give me some more. Show me, Lord, how to walk in your way. You know, that's what Paul is telling us there. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by the world. Don't get distracted by families. Don't get distracted by spouses. Don't get distracted by children. He says, I speak all this to your profit. Not that he wants to cast a snare upon us all, but he wants us to attend to the things of the Lord. Attend upon the Lord. Get what you can get from the Lord. Study to show yourself approved of the Lord without distraction. Wow. Let me tell you, put God to the test. Put God to the test. I challenge you. Get yourself in a room. Don't turn the TV on. Leave your cell phone in the other room and put it on vibrate. Take the phone off the hook. Don't answer. Don't let anybody knock on the door. Just pick up the Word of God and just start meditating on His Word. And see how much more you get out of His Word without distraction than when you got all this stuff happening all around you. That's what Paul's saying. Life can sometimes be like that. We love our spouses. They can sometimes be like that. We love our children. They can sometimes be like that. But God says, don't be distracted. Love me above all else. The Lord knows us. He knows what we're capable of doing. He knows what we're capable of not doing. But He calls on us to be committed. And we will not let anything distract us from following faithfully. We're to think on Him. You know, and I like David because David had that old idea down pat of how to think on the things of God. Flip back to Psalm 103. David knew what it meant to get along with God. He knew what it meant to separate himself and to hear, listen for the voice of God. And I believe that David was a man who was dedicated to praise. And he had praise down. He had it. He understood how to do it. He understood how to meditate on the Lord. And he praised God. And we can see that the Psalms record David's life over time. And we see that David praised God when he was a husband. He praised God when he was a king. He praised God when he was a father. He kept his eyes on God. In Psalm 103, start at verse number 1. And I want to, we'll close out in Psalm 27, also looking at David and how he determined that he would follow God, that he would not let any relationship interfere with his relationship with God. But in Psalm 103, verse 1, he says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That means, you know what? God first. God first. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath dealt with us after our sins, rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Amen. Oh, if we will just walk in determination. Amen. And walk dedicated and walk without distraction. Amen. He says, so great is his mercy. So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. Time is short. It's winding up. We can't put our trust in ourselves. He says, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone. Life is short. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord, guys. And that's where we got to keep our eyes. He said, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him.
that want to know him, that commit themselves to know him and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Wow. Now one more. Flip back to Psalm 27. We'll close out here. Whether single or married, guys, bond or freeman, man or woman, the question is this: who is Jesus? If I take the question one step further, who is Jesus every day? And we don't know what tomorrow brings, but will he be different tomorrow than he is today? No. So who is Jesus every day? That when we answer that question, who is he to me every day? Then that determines my determination, and it determines whether I will allow anything to distract me from following him. Who is he in every situation? Is he different tomorrow than he will be today? No. He does not change, and we should not change how we praise him. We should not change how we praise him. Psalm 27. David again, he says about his God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. He says, I can see my enemies, but my heart will not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Oh, every day, he said, he's the same. And David says, you know what I desire? That tomorrow, my tomorrow, will be just like my today. That I will be able to seek after the Lord. That I will be able to dwell in his house. That I will be able to behold his beauty. Let me tell you something. Life is short and full of trouble. But we have to determine that every day we will decide that we will behold the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord. You know, there's so much that I have yet to experience. But I am praying that the Lord will help me to be like David and say, no matter what happens to me, I will be able to behold the beauty of the Lord and dwell in his temple and praise him, and to be able to say he's my light and he's my salvation. Even though tears might be streaming down my eyes, he is still the light of my life, the salvation of my life. And I know that I can never fear. He says in verse number 5, because God, contrary to what so many teach, God has never promised us that salvation would bring about a life without trouble. He says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Lord, that's where I want to be. When trouble happens, when my heart is broken, he just hide me. And you know what? I just interpret that word pavilion just like a great place that God has provided. He says, and when things get difficult, he says he will hide me in that safe place. In other places in the Bible, it talks about God sets us in a large place and he allows us to sit down. That's about rest and that's about comfort. And here he says he's gonna hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. In the time of trouble, guys. In the time of trouble. God says, I got a place that I'm preserving for you to remind you that I really am your light, that I really am your salvation. He says, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Not distracted, determined, he said, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me.
then the Lord will take me up. That's why he says we gotta serve him. Amen. That's why he says you can't let people get in the way of relationship, because people will leave you, but the Lord will never forsake you. He says, be determined, follow me. He says, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Know what he's saying? Not just when we get to glory, but even right now, we can see the goodness of the Lord. Goodness of the Lord. We can see it now. Look for it. Wait for it. Praise him through the difficulties. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Walk determined. Walk without distraction. Let no earthly relationships interfere with your spiritual relationship with the Lord God Almighty. He says we can marry or we can stay single. But we need to stay close to the Lord. Married or single. Married or single. Married to the Lord. From everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your example, for your word, and for your will. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand the relationship that you want man and woman to have with you. I pray, Lord, that we might be able to say with confidence, as David said, that you are our light and our salvation, our strength, our rock. That we would allow you, Lord, to hide us in that special pavilion and allow you to strengthen us from day to day. Help us, Lord, to be determined to follow you no matter what our circumstance and to put you above all else. Lord, I pray that our relationship with you might be solid in our hearts. I pray that there'll be no doubt that we know you, Lord, as personal Savior. And if there is any doubt, I pray that you would reassure us. Reassure anyone through your word. Show them, Lord, that your only requirement is that we might have faith. Faith to believe in the work of the cross of Christ. Faith to believe that you raised him from the dead in your glory for our sake so that we might one day know you and accept you, Lord, and be forgiven of our sins. I pray, Father, you'd help us as a body of believers to leave this place equipped to tell a lost world about who Jesus is. I pray for faith and for faithfulness. I pray your name might be lifted up in our lives, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.